Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today, we're going to talk about some of the benefits of having assurance of salvation. Now, you recognize, if you are a regular listener, that we have embarked upon the rather extended study of the topic of assurance of salvation. We first got into it from our text in 1 John 5:13, which says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." A wonderful text on assurance of salvation, one we have examined carefully and have reviewed frequently. And I won't go back to it now, but that text will certainly get you started in having a biblical understanding of assurance of salvation, if you will carefully examine that text and follow what it indicates that you should be doing, what you should be studying, what you should be looking for, what you should be applying to your life. And secondarily, we have taken up the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, published in 1689, though in a modern language translation of it, and have been working through those four paragraphs to see what these men said about assurance of salvation, because we think they have some very helpful things to say. And we've come now to about the last half of the third paragraph. There's one final fourth paragraph to follow, but we've got to finish up the third one today. And Lord willing, we'll do that on this Friday, February 1. We're glad that you were able to join us today, and we are so thankful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts make it possible for us to teach God's Word on this station. Well, we ended the broadcast yesterday talking about the responsibility of every professing believer to apply himself to the question of assurance of salvation until he has a Bible-based assurance. We read, "It therefore becomes the duty of everyone to be as diligent as possible in making his calling and election sure." Now, going on from there, we read this: "By doing this, he will experience greater peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, greater love and thankfulness to God, and an increased strength and cheerfulness in dutiful obedience." Those are some of the benefits of assurance of salvation. I don't think they encompass all the benefits, but they encompass some important ones. So let's look at these again more carefully. By doing this, by endeavoring as much as possible to make your calling and election sure, by doing this, the believer will experience greater peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, is the one who teaches us the truths from His Word that bring us to assurance of salvation. The Holy Spirit is the one who indwells every born-again child of God and enables us to understand the Word of God and to apply it to our lives. And so when, by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, using the means of grace, namely the Bible and prayer, we come to assurance of salvation, what that brings is greater peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I don't think anyone would have difficulty accepting that statement. if you lack assurance of salvation, you really don't have peace. And you don't have a great measure of joy. You might have some measure of it. I'm not saying that you're totally lacking in these things, but obviously you don't have either of these in any great degree. The peace that's being talked about here, of course, is the subjective side of peace. There's an objective side and there's a subjective side. And the subjective side is the sense of peace in your heart, the way you feel. Your sense of settledness, of calmness, of stability. You need assurance of salvation to have that, because otherwise you have turmoil and fear and doubts. And that's not good. That makes it difficult for you to serve the Lord with gladness, to help others with their understanding of God's Word, to bring others to salvation. How can someone who lacks assurance of salvation himself be very fervent and effective in pointing others to salvation in Christ? You tell someone else the gospel, and of course you can do that. Even unbelievers can proclaim the gospel, and God may use it to save souls. We've probably all known at one point or another in our lives some preacher that failed terribly at some point in his life and maybe even walked away from his profession of faith in Christ. I'm thinking of one well-known evangelist of years ago that did exactly that and ended up becoming, I don't know if he claimed to be an agnostic or an atheist. And the strange thing about it is that his ministry, when he was still an evangelist, was used of God to bring evidently a good number of people to faith in Christ. Now, those people might be a little troubled themselves. How could I truly be a child of God if the person who preached the gospel that I heard and came to faith in Christ himself was not a true believer? Well, because it's not the messenger, it's the message. If what he proclaimed was the truth of God's Word, it was the Bible, it was the gospel, then that is why you are a Christian. You believe the gospel. The Holy Spirit used the truth that was proclaimed to bring you to faith in Christ, to give you life, to bring you into union with Christ. And your salvation has nothing to do with the salvation or lack of salvation of the messenger. I actually went through an experience similar to the one that I just described many years ago when I was still in college, in training for the ministry, and I was involved in a church, traveled to it on weekends, some about 80 miles away from where I lived, to be able to be involved in a ministry where I could get experience and learn what it's like to be involved in a church ministry. And so I served as a youth pastor in a small church that couldn't have a full-time youth pastor, but they had one on weekends when I came. And I did that for several years, actually for 2 years, if I'm remembering correctly. Might have even been three. It's been a long time ago now. But I decided to take the summer off 1 year to go to another state and to do an internship in another church, again, to gain experience for ministry. So I was far away, over near the Mississippi River, when my father called me one day and said, I wanted to tell you myself before you heard it on the news or read it in the newspaper that Pastor so-and-so is in jail. And it was the pastor that I was working with. And of course, that was an astonishing shock to me. And I'm grateful for my father calling me. And I don't think it ever reached the news where I was, but it was all over the news where my father was, because it was so close by. It was in the newspapers and on the news that this pastor of such and such a Baptist church had been arrested and was in jail. Now, I won't tell you the rest of what happened to him, but what I know is that there were a lot of people in that church, including a good many who were in my youth group, who were very shaken as to their own relationship with Christ because of the very thing that I just mentioned. Most of them had come to faith in Christ under the ministry of this man. And now they're wondering, how could I be a Christian if the man that I believed his message is not a Christian himself? And I had to do a good bit of counseling when I got back. I was away from them at this time. But when I got back, I hurried back to the church and started ministering to these dear people and trying to help them to see that your salvation doesn't depend upon Pastor so-and-so. Your salvation is in Jesus Christ. Or to put it another way, your faith is not in Pastor so-and-so. Your faith in, you've had some faith in Pastor so-and-so, and that faith has been badly shaken because of what's happened. But saving faith isn't in Pastor so-and-so. Saving faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're trusting Him. And He is the one who has made promises to you. They're in the Bible. They're in the Word of God. That's what you are believing for the salvation of your soul. But you see, when you are uncertain, then you have no peace. You have no joy. These people were really shaken. As far as I know, all of them regained their footing and continued on following the Lord and showed evidence of truly being born again. That terrible incident, as far as I know, did not shake anyone out of their profession of faith, not eventually, but for a few weeks and even maybe some lingering months in the case of some of them, there were a lot of days of turmoil. Well, when they weren't certain, they didn't have peace. They didn't have joy. But this statement says, by doing this, the believer will experience greater peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's obvious. He goes on to say, greater love and thankfulness to God. Well, that should be obvious too. You love Him when you know that He saved you. You're thankful to Him when you know that He saved you. When you're not sure, it's hard to have the love toward God that you know you ought to have, commanded to have, and yet you're not even sure that you're His child. It's hard to have it. It's hard to be thankful to Him if you don't know whether or not you are an object of His saving grace and therefore are His child. So it brings, assurance of salvation brings greater love and thankfulness to God and an increased strength and cheerfulness in dutiful obedience. That's another way of saying it enables you to effectively and fruitfully serve the Lord. But when you're not sure that you are saved, it's pretty hard to effectively serve the Lord. I'm not saying you can't do anything, but I'm saying there are a lot of things that you're going to have difficulty doing effectively if you don't know whether or not you're a Christian. And so, assurance of salvation is very important to a healthy Christian life. And this goes on to say, these things are the natural outcome of the assurance of salvation, and these very things constitute strong evidence that assurance does not lead men into loose living. That's an erroneous idea. Well, join me please next week. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.